Chapter 20. Breathing hard, Rise dashed across the moonlit courtyard. He was thankful to be out of the cloying darkness of the vaults, but he was certain a presence had followed him. He felt it creeping behind him, getting closer and closer, but every time he looked, there was nothing there. Nevertheless, he sensed it getting nearer, and panic clutched at him. He paused at the corner of the grand building dedicated to the schools of geothaumaturgical sciences, glancing back the way he'd come. The courtyard had a perfectly manicured lawn in it, crossed by 5 intersecting cobblestone paths. Archways leading into various faculty buildings enclosed the open area, darkness lurking beneath them. Rise's eyes darted between the shadows, searching. He saw nothing untoward and forced his breathing to steady. He must be imagining it. Whatever that spirit had been down in the Well of Ages, it had remained there. He turned to leave, but pulled up short. The restless shadow stood before him, blocking his path. It was the same as before, its shape robed and translucent, its features blank. It lifted a hand, limned by ghostly blue-green light, and pointed at him, condemning him. Then it stepped toward him. Rise staggered backward and ran. Callista and Jendakiah walked the darkened corridors side by side. She hadn't realized it had gotten so late, and she assured Jendakiah she did not need an escort back to her suite, but the artificer had insisted.
I work late anyway. A brisk walk before returning to my workshop will do me good.
They made their way through the silent halls and stepped outside. Callista nodded to the guard on duty at the entrance and collected her spear from her. The city was quiet, with none of the raucous shouts and laughter that could be heard echoing across the rooftops of Alavedra at any hour of the night.
If the council is still keeping you waiting, tomorrow I could show you some of the other relic weapons I have been working on.
Jendakiah offered as they continued through the shadowed streets.
I would like that. I still find it hard to believe you are the only one making these weapons. I would think the masters would be very interested in them.
That's because you're Camavoran, and a soldier. The masters don't see any purpose in my studies. They question why we need them when we have the hallowed mist.
It is a most effective barrier. But what happens if someone does get through it?
My point exactly, but it hasn't happened in all the centuries since the mist wall was raised, so they don't consider it a possibility.
That seems foolish.
I agree. But the military force needed to protect these isles is considered prohibitively expensive. Oh, the Fellowship has the funds, but no one would ever agree to spend them like that. We'd need ships, walls, fortresses, and lots of soldiers. It'd never happen. But my relic weapons could be the answer. A way that we could protect the Isles without needing to fund an entire army. The Sentinels protected these Isles once. We could do so again. I even have designs to create larger-scale weapons that could be mounted in towers, overlooking the city, or aboard ships, or... But all that would require far more resources than I have at my disposal, and the Masters would never allow it. They don't see the point, and...
Her voice trailed off as a figure came careening around a corner. Callista had her spear readied before she recognized him.
Rise?
She said, lowering her weapon. Gone were all his bravado and swagger. He looked terrified.
Run!
He yelped, sprinting toward them.
It's coming!
What's coming?
Rise glanced back over his shoulder as he ran.
That!
A shadow stepped around the corner behind Rise, and Callista lifted her spear once again.
Ancestors above,
she breathed as she realized she could see through it. It had the outline of a robed man, but its face was blank, and it strode forward with implacable determination. With every movement, eerie witchfire flickered, lighting the unnatural being from within. Without hesitation, Callista hurled her spear at the apparition. Her weapon struck the creature where its throat should have been, but then passed through it with a crackle of ethereal light and clattered against the wall. On the insubstantial being came, striding toward Callista, who stared at it in numb shock.
Let's go!
Urged Ryze, tugging at her.
Move!
A searing blast of light struck the revenant in its chest, ripping through its shadowy form. It reeled backward, arms and legs flailing. Half of its torso came apart, dissipating like smoke. As the blazing white light hit, the spirit's blank visage became that of an aged man, twisted in pain and surprise. It lasted only an instant and was gone. Nevertheless, the revenant was not destroyed. It moved swifter now, with invigorated purpose, even with the gaping, ragged hole through its chest. Artificer Jendakaya shot it again with a beam of light from her relic weapon, this time in the head. For a split second, Callista saw that aged face again, wearing an expression that might have been relief. Then the shadowy apparition was blasted apart, its entire form collapsing into vapor that dissipated into nothingness. Callista looked at Jendakaya. The artificer was staring down at the glowing relic weapon in her hands, as surprised as everyone else.
Huh.
As the first rays of dawn banished the darkness, Callista sat with Ryze and Jendakaya around the table in her suite, trying to understand what they had witnessed.
So you really have no idea where it came from, or why it was following you?
Ryze sighed and rubbed his eyes.
I do not know, my lady.
He was far more respectful now, she noted. The apprentice pushed himself to his feet, clutching a heavy leather tome.
I'm just thankful that I ran into you both. That weapon really did the trick.
They all looked at the relic weapon, lying on the table before them. The glow of its stone had long faded.
I'm going to get some sleep before Tyrus wakes me for morning lessons.
With a nod, he left, closing the suite door gently behind him. Callista rubbed her tired eyes. She could do with some sleep herself.
He knows more than he's letting on.
Oh, definitely. And what was with that book? He was most elusive about it, and clutched it to him like a baby with its blanket.
And you've never heard of anything like this happening before?
Spirits of the dead roaming the streets of Helia? Before last night, I would have laughed at the mere suggestion. No, this was a first as far as I know. But who is to say if it could happen again?
Before they could ponder, there was a rapping upon Callista's door. A pair of custodians stood outside, and without a word, they handed her a note. She read swiftly.
Oh, finally!
Good news?
That is yet to be seen, but the council is ready to declare its decision.
Moment of truth. Good luck.
Callista blinked as the council's decision sank in.
You are refusing to save a dying woman,
she said in a low, furious voice. The 17 masters stared down at her from the shadows of the cavernous audience chamber within the scintillant tower, impassive and unmoved. One spoke at last.
The so-called waters of life do not exist. We are sorry that you have been misled to believe otherwise.
And it took this long to decide to tell me that?
Another of the faceless masters answered.
That time was necessary to determine if we felt we could be of any assistance to the Queen of Camivore. Our decision is that we cannot. Had you brought the Queen here, perhaps there might have been something that could be done, but we will never know.
Callista's expression hardened.
How could I have brought the Queen here?
She said through clenched teeth.
You have cut yourselves off from the world, content in your bubble of privilege.
Well, you found your way here,
yet another master remarked. Callista turned her gaze toward the speaker and took some meager pleasure that he looked hastily away. She scowled at the gathered masters.
You should all be ashamed of yourselves,
she declared, which elicited a barrage of hisses and raised voices. The din quieted as Elder Bartek lifted his hand. When he spoke, it was with a tone of finality.
The custodians will accompany you to your suite, and any aid you may require in preparing to leave will be given. Then you will be escorted to the docks, where a ship is waiting to take you through the hallowed mist. Contact has been made with your own vessel beyond, and it is expecting you forthwith. Your time in Helia has come to an end. You will not return. Our thoughts and hopes go with you for the swift recovery of your queen.
Callista gave the council one final dismissive glare, then turned and strode from the chamber. Callista marched toward the waiting ship, head held high, the long plume of her helmet streaming behind her. Four armored custodians accompanied her, two in front, two behind. It hadn't taken her long to gather her belongings. Her gear was already packed and ready, along with her spear and short sword. As she neared the curiously arcing docks, she heard a shout behind her.
Callista!
Glancing back, she saw Jendakiah running down the street toward her, waving her arms. Callista halted, forcing her armed escort to halt with her. She smiled as the artificer darted around the custodians and threw her arms around her. Callista stood stiffly in the embrace, unused to such displays, and patted Jendakiah awkwardly on the back.
I told you,
said Jendakiah, finally releasing her.
Pompous asses. I'm sorry things turned out this way.
One of the custodians said something Callista couldn't understand, and Jendakiah turned on him.
Back off! She will take as long as she wants.
Callista smiled.
I have known you only a short while, but I am privileged to name you a friend. I only wish I were able to know you for longer.
The council's decree or no, I feel that we will meet again.
If you ever get tired of this place, come to Alavedra. Your talents would be well regarded in Camivore.
Maybe I will,
said Jendakiah with a pixie grin.
Farewell, my friend.
Callista was escorted to the same ship that had borne her to Helia, the Aureate Savant, and it seemed fitting that Tyrus himself was waiting for her on the deck. For his part, the Adept looked tired and disappointed.
I am so sorry, Lady Callista,
he said, surprising her by falling to one knee and bowing his head.
I truly believed bringing you here was the right course of action and that the help you needed would be forthcoming. I would never have offered otherwise.
Callista drew Tyrus back to his feet.
You have nothing to apologize for. I do not blame you for the council's decision. You brought me here in good faith, and I am grateful for that.
You are gracious.
The Masters of Helia are a secretive and suspicious coterie. They cannot cut themselves off from the rest of the world forever.
I wish they had done more. But there is good reason for them to be wary of outsiders. Still, I am sorry that this all came to naught.
You are a good man, Tyrus. Perhaps we will meet again someday.
He smiled.
That would please me.
Is your apprentice not joining us?
She asked, scanning the deck.
He's running late, as usual, but he'll be here. But before we set sail, there is someone who wishes to speak to you privately. He is waiting below decks.
Callista frowned.
Who is it?
Tyrus grimaced.
Someone I studied with long ago, a warden of thresholds. A strange fellow, one I feel a certain pity for. He begged to be allowed to speak with you, and in truth I feel somewhat obligated to indulge him. But I will ensure he doesn't hold you up for long.
Why does he want to speak to me?
It seems he has some academic interest in Camivore. I would take it as a personal favor if you humored him. It would ease my conscience.
Below decks?
Yes, he is waiting.
Still a little confused, Callista made her way below. It took a moment for her eyes to adjust to the gloom. When they did, she saw a tall, gaunt figure dressed in gray robes waiting for her. He had chains around his waist and crossing his chest, and a vast assortment of keys hung from a number of large iron rings. He smiled, but it was not warm.
Who are you?
She said, approaching cautiously.
I am Erlok Grail, Warden Prefect of Thresholds.
A thresher. That's what they call you, isn't it?
Some call us that, yes.
Grail's smile tightened.
I heard about your ill treatment by the masters. They are fools, and they lied to you.
From within his robe, the warden produced a small vial of liquid, perfectly clear.
The waters of life are real,
he said, handing it to Callista.
I am sure the physicians and mages of Camivore will be able to verify the truth of that.
Callista took the water, looking at it in awe.
That is all I was able to bring you. Alas, it is unlikely to be enough to save your good queen. But I would like very much for your king to know that he has a friend and ally here in Helia. A friend and ally who will help him get all the water he needs.
Callista gazed at the warden. His expression was unnerving.
How would that be possible?
Grail brought forth something else from his robe, a small circular stone carved with intersecting lines. It was a waystone, just like the one Tyrus had used to part the mist.
By that look, I take it you know what this is.
I do,
said Callista, instantly suspicious.
And from what I understand of Helia, this is not something a warden would normally have in their possession.
We wardens are the true custodians of the Isles. We hold the keys to all their secrets.
Why would you give this to me?
Because I want to help.
Callista didn't believe him.
What's in it for you?
Grail's smile broadened.
I have no love for the Council, but would be amenable to the patronage of the King of Camivore.
And how do you imagine this will work?
Bring your dying queen here. Use the stone to find your way through the mist. The Council will not be able to refuse your king, not when he arrives on their doorstep. And once the queen is cured, I want to leave with him. Yes, a position and title within the court of Camivore. That's the reward that I want.
Callista reached out to take the waystone, but Grail pulled it away from her. She scowled. With a smirk, the warden tossed it to her, as if it meant little to him.
Do not speak of this to Tyrus or his apprentice,
he said as he stalked past her to leave.
This will be our little secret, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Chains clinking, the warden climbed the steps back onto the deck. Moments later, she heard the shouts of sailors as they cast off their lines and the ship set sail. Callista looked down at the vial of water and the waystone in her hands. This was what she had been searching for all this time, and yet a knot of uncertainty tightened within her. To go down this route was a betrayal of Tyrus, a man who had been nothing but kind to her. Going behind his back was deeply dishonorable, and not something she was at all comfortable even considering. But on the other hand, the queen's life was at stake.
How can I not take advantage of what might be Isolde's only chance?
It was then that Tyrus came down to check on her. She swiftly pocketed the vial and the waystone, concealing them from his view.
Is all well, my lady?
Everything is fine,
she assured him. Callista stood on the deck of the Daggerhawk, watching as Tyrus and the Oriat Savant slipped back into the mist. It was like a veil came down. One moment the ship was there, then it was gone.
Did you get what you came for, Princess?
Callista didn't answer immediately. She continued to stare into the impenetrable mist long after the ship had disappeared. She thought of the unsavory warden and the things he had given her.
Maybe.
So where to next?
Home. It's time to return to Camivore.